And rejoice evermore, rejoice evermore. It is better to sing than be sighing. It is better to sit than be dying. So let us rejoice evermore.
Hallelujah! Let's rejoice evermore. The joy of the triune God becoming our joy. When I first saw this title of this message assigned to me, I thought this is a good title for a gospel meeting, for a gospel message. And indeed, I feel this is a very good gospel message, not necessarily to the unsaved, but more to the saved ones. We all need to be saved from a joyless Christian life. We may be Christian for many years, but we don't know how to have a Christian life of joy, of enjoying God. We surely need to hear such a gospel message to be saved all over again. To be saved from all our anxieties, from all our depression, suppression, all the distracting things, back to this matter of enjoying the Lord. As we saw from the general subject of this conference, the enjoyment of Christ and the growth in life unto maturity. These are all related. I believe we all know, as we are nearing the Lord's appearing, when He will come back for His bride, there needs to be the mature bride prepared for Him. In order to have the maturity, there needs to be the growth in life. And in order to have the growth in life, we need to know how to enjoy Christ. Our brother Ricky pointed out last night, it's one thing to experience, but it's another thing to enjoy. This weekend, I believe the Lord brought us to this subject of enjoyment, the enjoyment of Christ. He knows where many of the saints are. We have been around. We have been living in the churches, in the recovery, for many years. Are we living the Christian life and church life with joy? Even such an expression, enjoying Christ or enjoyment of Christ, is used so frequently, so commonly among us. But I really wonder how much do we realize the deep significance of this matter of enjoying the Lord. I remember when I first heard such an expression by Brother Lee as a young believer, I was intrigued by such an expression. In the matter of God, all the Christians, they would know we need to fear Him. We need to worship Him. We need to serve Him, work for Him. Enjoy God? So strange. I believe such an expression is uniquely used in the Lord's recovery. There's hardly any other Christian groups, any other Christian teachers use such a phrase of enjoying the Lord, enjoying Christ. Thank the Lord for His recovery. Thank the Lord for this ministry of the age that opens up what is deeply in God's heart to us. God wants us to enjoy Him. So as the years went by, and I come to read the Word, and I come to hear the ministry, I came to realize, yes, God wants us to enjoy Him. He opened up the Bible from the beginning in Genesis all the way to Revelation. As soon as God created man, he put man in a garden of joy. Do you realize that? That's the word of Eden. Eden means pleasure. God did not put man in a factory, in an office, right? Or a school. God puts man, but put man in a garden. And that is called a garden of pleasure. That should tell us something. God wants us to enjoy him. And then in that garden, there was a tree of life. And there were also rivers, rivers in four heads, flowing out, river to drink, tree of life to eat. So God did not charge man to do this, to do that, give him a hammer, give him a spade. No, God wants man to eat the tree of life. Then you roll forward to the end of the Bible, the very end of the Bible, the consummation of God's economy. Here again you see in the holy city, New Jerusalem, where you have the tree of life again and a river of water of life. What does it tell you, brothers and sisters? Even for eternity, we will be enjoying God, enjoying him as the tree of life and as the river of life. Whenever we touch the matter of eating and drinking, that right away brings us to the matter of enjoyment, right? I mean, you know, every time when you gather around food, there's always joy there, right? Don't you love to eat? Don't you love to drink? Right? It's just whenever we gather around food and drink, we are happy. And God is very mindful, not only mindful, God, his intention is that his people would eat and drink and to have pleasure, to have enjoyment. You know, although this such a phrase is used so frequently and commonly among us, it has a deep significance and is of tremendous importance. If we don't know how to properly enjoy God, we will not be able to grow properly. And if we don't grow, we will not reach maturity. Yes, we can experience something of Christ, or just experience something, but if you don't enjoy it, even if you're a person, he's just taking food, but he never enjoys the food that he eats, I would say his growth will not be so healthy, right? He's just taking in food grudgingly. And he will not be growing that properly. You know, recently I read an article about even drinking water. And this article tells us, even drinking water, you don't just drink, gulp it down. You have to allow the water to benefit in you, to you, drinking it slowly, right? By small sips, and better to drink it sitting down. And, I just get a whole bottle, just gulp it down, you know, just drink it in, and that's it. Well, I got water, but I did not fully enjoy all the benefits of the water. God does not want us to just receive him. God wants us to enjoy him. Surely this matter of enjoyment includes the element of joy. And this joy does not necessarily imply a kind of happiness, a kind of exhilaration, excitement, not necessarily so, but it implies an inner satisfaction, an inner peace, an inner contentment. When you ate your breakfast this morning, did you just jumping up and down and say, I'm so happy with my breakfast? No. But after your breakfast, you feel very satisfied, right? You feel inwardly very calm, very peaceful, and content. When we talk about the enjoyment of the Lord, we are not talking about that you are carrying a big smile all day long, jumping up and down, full of excitement. We are talking about an inner satisfaction, an inner peace, an inner contentment. God wants us to enjoy Him, be satisfied with Him, be at peace with Him, be fully content with Him. So that when we are such enjoying, having such joy, enjoying God in such a way, that we are just at peace with God. And this joy that we'll be talking about surely is not something due to any external factors, such as winning a prize, making a great success at your endeavor. Not due to these external factors, some positive environments, no. Actually, instead, the Bible shows us in many difficult, adverse, negative situation, environment, we can experience the deep joy. Enjoy the Lord in the midst of all the difficult, insurmountable situation, problems. Dear brothers and sisters, I feel the Lord, by His sovereignty, brought us to this subject. We should not belittle or just count as common. I know, enjoy the Lord. Amen, brother. Let's enjoy the Lord. Let's enjoy the Lord. Don't say it too lightly. Don't say it loosely. When we enjoy the Lord, we are really enjoying the Lord. He is the Lord Himself is the factor of our enjoyment. You may call on the Lord. You may pray, read His word, but the situation is still there. Nothing changed. Even as Paul was chained up in Philippi, in the prison, in the middle of the night, where the wounds may be hurting him, but bleeding, but there was a joy welling up in him and Silas. There, they were breaking out into singing, into praising. The outward situation was still negative, was even unbearable at times, but there was joy in these dear servants of God. We don't know what the Lord, what our situation may bring us, sometimes positive, sometimes negative, but nevertheless, our God, our very triune God, as joy, is here with us. We can rejoice, we can enjoy Him because of Him, not because of everything working out our ways, working out according to our preference. We still can enjoy because of Him. We are enjoying the Lord. He is the unique factor of our enjoyment. So, this message begins very simple, just two sections. The first section showing us our God, particularly the triune God, is a God of joy. And also, the second section touches on how this joy of the triune God now can become our joy. His joy, our joy. Now, first point, point A. Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." Our God, He's a God of hope. We have heard a lot of God being a God of love, a God of light, a God of holiness, and of God, a God of righteousness. But do you know He is a God of hope? He is a God of peace. He is a God of joy. This God of hope will fill us all with all joy and peace. In a world of hopelessness today, we are living in a hopeless world. Everywhere, the politicians, world leaders, trying to piece the world together. And we know, according to God's word, there's no hope to this falling world. Our real hope is in God Himself. He is the God of hope. And this God of hope fills us with all joy and peace. Number one says, this indicates that joy is one of God's attributes. Have you ever thought about this? You know, holiness is God's attribute. His righteousness is His attribute. God has many attributes. The attributes refer to what God is in God's being. But now, this point tells us, joy is one of God's attributes. You know, when I was a young boy, I visited some Buddhist temple. I saw many of the idols. I don't know why all those makers of those idols always make those idols so fearsome looking, horrifying looking. They want to scare people or something. You know, that was their concept of, you know, so-called the God or idol is to punish people, is to horrify you. But God is a God of joy. This is what He is. This is something in God Himself. You come to God, you come to joy. You know, for quite a period of time now, every morning, I treasure this verse in Psalm 43, verse 4. I go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Every morning, that's where I go. I go to the altar. A sinful man such as me, full of shortcomings, full of failures, but every morning I can go to the altar where I can partake of God's provision. All the offerings, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the peace offering, the meal offering, and the best of all, the burnt offering. My, I could never exhaust my enjoyment of God's provision. Every morning I start there. I go to the altar, and the psalmist says, to God my exceeding joy. What a joy to go there. As a man in the flesh, full of failures, weaknesses, and shortcomings can come to a God of exceeding joy. Enjoying all his provision, all that he is, providing me a way to enter into him. Oh, I love that verse very much. I enjoy that every morning. He is the God of exceeding joy. Not just regular joy, exceeding joy. God is the God of enjoyment. In our experience, if we enjoy God as grace, we will have peace. And if we have peace, we will have joy. Especially in the epistles by the Apostle Paul, nearly at the beginning of each epistle, he opened up with a greeting. May grace and peace be from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Grace is what? Grace is not unmerited favor, something that God gives us, God does for us freely. Grace, in its intrinsic meaning, is that grace is God to be our enjoyment. This morning, we are seeing grace as we are singing the song, "Let's Rejoice Evermore." Here, we are seeing the grace of God, even in our singing, in our praising. In a little bit, and later after my finish, there'll be saints responding. We're going to see grace overflowing. Grace is not a material thing. Grace is God enjoyed by us. That is the source. And as we enjoy this grace, there will be a result. That is the condition of peace. The more you enjoy grace, the more you are brought to a condition of peace. And with this condition of peace, there will be an issue. Issue in an expression of joy. So, these three matters we see in the New Testament again and again, that we can enjoy God as grace, then we'll have peace, then we'll have joy. This is referring to God himself, God the Father, as the source of such joy. Now, B says, Christ is also joy to the believers. Point one, in John 15:11, the Lord said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." I really love this verse. In John 15, the Lord says, I said these things to you. What did he say to them? We know John 15 is a chapter concerning the vine and the vine and the branches. The Lord in this chapter tells us, he is the vine, we are the branches, we abide in him, he abides in us. By telling us this, so that his joy may be in us, and our joy may be made full. I was struck by the word full. I look it up, you know, in the Greek for the word full is pleru, which means that to make replete, which means abundantly supplied, and even stuffed and gorged with food and drink, is full of joy. The Lord does not only want us to have joy, but have joy to the full. You know, in the Amplified Version, Amplified Bible, it says, "Let your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. So God, the Lord, wants us to experience this joy, not just have a little bit of it, but to the point of fullness. It's just like you're one filling a bottle. You know, the more you put a water or some fluid into a bottle, you, as the water level goes up, it squeezes out all the air. The Lord wants us to be not only have a little joy in us, He wants this joy to be made full. Squeezes out all our anxiety. Squeezes out all the negative thoughts. He wants this joy to be made full. A number of times even Paul tells us, right, in Philippians 2, make my joy full. No space for, no room for anxiety. No room for murmurings. No room for all the criticisms. All those rooms got squeezed out by joy. Pleru. Oh, I love this verse. That your joy may be made full. The context of this verse is the Lord's word concerning the vine and the branches. For us to be the branches of the divine vine is a matter of joy. A joyful life. What is this story of the vine and the branches? It's a story of grafting. It's a story of an organic union. Christ is the vine. We are the branches. That has been grafted into Him. We have entered into an organic union with Him. The branches live by the life of the tree, of the vine. And the vine flows out His life through the branches and bears fruit through the branches. There is such an intimate relationship between the vine and the branches. The vine abides in the branches. The branches abide in the vine. This gives us much joy. By speaking to us, this organic union between Christ and His believers, His joy may be in us, and our joy may be made full. I always like this, what Brother Watchman Nee told us, referring to his visit to Brother George Cutting. George Cutting was a British, the Brethren, one of the teachers. He wrote a little booklet, Safety, Certainty, and Enjoyment. I believe he was one of the very few teachers who used the word enjoyment. Safety, certainty, and enjoyment. In his days, that was the third most the best sellers beside the Bible and the Pilgrim Progress. The third best seller was the Safety, Certainty, and Enjoyment. He was born in the mid 1800s. Brother Watchman Nee went to see him when he was about 90 years old, Brother Cutting. And at that time, he was already near the end of his life, and he was in deep dementia, could not remember anything. He could not recognize Watchman Nee, who came to visit him. And Watchman Nee testified, when he spent about half an hour just being there with him, Brother Cutting, just without ceasing, keep repeating, saying, "He cannot live without me. I cannot live without Him. Christ cannot live without me. I cannot live without Him." He forgot everything. He forgot all the verses. He forgot he lost all the memories of so many things and persons. But this one fact kept him enjoying everything seemed to have vanished, everything seemed to have are gone. This wonderful, this revelation, this even vision remained in him. He was in this organic union. He maintained the joy, even in that great limitation of his human life at that stage. Reminding me very much, like Brother Watchman Nee. I don't want to steal Brother Ron's message at the end, but that was, we all heard this before. Brother Nee expressed toward the end of his life, I maintain my joy. The joy is not something due to the outward circumstances, but because of this organic union we have with Christ. We realize that we cannot do without him. Surely we understand that. But he, Brother Cutting, also realized he cannot live without me. There is an intimate, organic union we have entered with the Lord. This gives us great joy. It's a matter of joy. Number 4 says, our joy always comes from our abiding in the Lord, from our abiding in his love. It is in this kind of life that we are full of joy. It is in this kind of life we squeeze out all the complaints, all the murmurings, all the negative thoughts, full of joy. Number 6 says, this joy is Christ himself. Dear saints, this joy is Christ himself. Not just what Christ did for you, not just what Christ gave you, but is Christ himself. He is our joy. When he abides in us, his joy abides in us to be the source of our joy, that our joy may abound and become full, and that we may live our days with joy. These are evil days. Living in this world these days are not easy. It's challenging. Fighting everywhere. Confusion everywhere. Corruption everywhere. How do we live our Christian life? How do we go on as in the church life, as the Lord's recovery, to maintain, to bear our testimony? Dear saints, no other way. We have to enjoy the Lord. As the current in the world keeps going downward, it's degrading, it's going downhill every day. Yet we are here. God must gain a people, preserve a people who knows how to enjoy him. He's the factor of our joy, and we want to live our days. These days, none of us know how many more days we have on this earth. I don't know how many more days I have, neither do you. But don't you want to say, Lord, I want to live my days full of joy. A joy, every day, be a joyful day. A day that we know how to enjoy him, to be our sufficiency, to be our abundant supply. C says, there is joy in the Holy Spirit, not only with God, with Christ, but also with the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17, a verse familiar to many of us, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The matter of joy often is connected to the Spirit or the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 13, verse 52, says similarly, the disciples in those days were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. When we are truly filled with the Holy Spirit, we are filled with joy. You cannot help, you cannot have the filling of the Spirit, yet without joy. I mean, it is the fruit of the Spirit is, one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. When we are truly filled with the Spirit, we'll be filled with joy. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul tells us the Thessalonians there, they received the word in the midst of their affliction, but with joy of the Lord. So outwardly was affliction. Outwardly was all the persecution, opposition. But the Thessalonians, they received the Lord's word with joy. Number one says, God wants us to enjoy Him and live for His purpose. The reference here is Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. We know this verse referred to the children of Israel being in the recovery stage to go back to rebuild the temple, rebuild the city. And there, the priestly scribe, Ezra, stood up before the people and read the law to them. The word, which was the word of God. And as the people heard the word, they were stricken. They were touched, convicted by the word, and they were sorrowful in their heart. But then Ezra told them, this is not a day for sorrow. This is a day to rejoice. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Saints, the joy of Jehovah is our strength. Amen. Yes, outwardly, we have afflictions. We have even persecution, negative situation. But inwardly, because we have the Lord within, Jehovah is the joy to us. And the joy of Jehovah is our strength. This is the strength, I believe, that will sustain us, that will keep us, that will maintain us until His appearing. Not the outward good situation or your good feeling, but is the joy of God, the joy of Jehovah is our strength. To keep us standing for Him, to keep us going forward with Him. Number two, the triune God is a God of joy, and the apostles are fellow workers with the saints for their joy. Isn't this precious? God is a God of joy, we have seen. And the apostles also are workers, fellow workers with the saints for their joy. I particularly love in Philippians chapter 1 and 2. The first reference in verse 25, it says, Paul says, being confident of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of the faith. Every worker of God must have this kind of realization. Whether I'm visiting some saints or shepherding some churches, we are not there to just go to reprimand them, correct them, teach them. We are there to what? Minister to the saints, to the churches, for their progress and joy of the faith. In all our contact with the saints, all our contact with the churches, the result should be the joy of the faith of the saints. No workers should apply their control, their own demand, their own instruction, according to their own disposition, Every genuine fellow worker of God, they impart joy to the believers. So precious also in chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, it says, "But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice, and I rejoice together with you all." The Texan saying, "You love you all." "I rejoice with you all." I may not pronounce it accurately. "You all." "You all." And verse 18, "In like manner, you also rejoice, and you rejoice together with me."
Amen.
Oh, I love this verse so much. This is nearing the Apostle Paul's martyrdom. He knows his day, the day is coming. He is being poured out as a drink offering. That refers to his martyrdom. He is going to be poured out. But even his martyrdom was likened to a drink offering, poured out upon the sacrifice, upon the sacrifice and service of the believer's faith. He was not just doing a good work for God's people. He realized even his pouring out, and by way of pouring out his life, will be upon the believer's faith and service. And he says, "I rejoice." He was not sad. He was not regretting that God did not deliver him. God did not give him more years. He realized now he is approaching the end of his life, the end of his journey. He was full of faith. Whatever is going to happen to him, his pouring out will be upon the faith and service, the service, sacrifice and service of the believer's faith. And he rejoiced. And he said, "I rejoice together with you." And then, "In like manner, you rejoice, and you rejoice together with me." There is a mutual rejoicing. He rejoiced with the believers. The believers rejoice with him. I hope this weekend, saints, we are gathered here. I think there's a kind of a certain amount of excitement, seeing so many old faces, new faces. But I hope after this message, we will see that it's not just an outward excitement that brought us here, that we are rejoicing with one another. I rejoice together with you, and you rejoice together with me. Right? So good that we have such a gathering of the saints that we can rejoice one with another. Saints, this is a time of rejoicing. How about let's say two times hallelujah together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, it's so good to be here rejoicing together. Not just by yourself, but together. Together with me, together with you. Number 3 says, we may experience the joy of the Lord's word being in our heart. Jeremiah 15:16, we know the verse that Jeremiah says, "The word was found and I ate it." I ate them. And it becomes the joy and gladness of my heart. This gathering in the seventh feast in the Lord's Recovery, on the one hand, it is a gathering of the saints for the blending that we rejoice together. It's so good to see one another. But more importantly, we are gathered around the Lord's word. Aren't you thankful that even after Brother Lee passed away now 27 years, the Lord's word is not rare. The Lord's word is still here with us. If we merely just get together here, seeing some faces, shaking hands, without the Lord's word, we will not have much joy. Even if we have some joy, it will be very temporal, very short. We have joy because we have the Lord's word. Whenever we read the word, we hear the word, there is joy welling up. Because it is through his word, Christ is being revealed to us. The triune God is being dispensed into us. His word makes us joyful. So that's why Jeremiah says that word that he heard, that he ate, that he took in, became the joy and gladness of his heart. Amen. Number four, a sweet thought revealed in the word of God is that in Christ, God has given himself to us as grace to be our enjoyment. In the first reference in the Bible to God's relationship with man, God presents himself to man as food. I mentioned this earlier. This shows that God wants us to enjoy him. B, God's desire is to give himself to us to be our enjoyment. And see, the secret to the Christian life is not how much we work for him, but how much we absorb him and enjoy him. May the Lord impress this point into all of us. This is the secret of our Christian life, and even in our church life. It's not how much we work for him. Christian workers are busy, those who love God, dedicated to God. They're busy working for God, doing many things for God. But they are short of the realization of knowing how to enjoy God. If you find yourself serving God at the point of exhaustion, at the point of depletion, drying up, there's something wrong with that service. You are serving by your own strength, according to your own power. That will have an end. That will have a limit. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The secret of all our service to God is in our Christian life. It's not just we busy, faithful, doing things for him, but that we enjoy him. I love the word sufficiency Paul used in 2 Corinthians. He realized he was bearing a big burden in the Lord's ministry. He says, who is sufficient for these things? So much need everywhere in the churches with God's people. Who is sufficient for these things? Then he says, our sufficiency is of God. There is a sufficiency adequate to meet all the needs. So in all our services for him, all our work for him, we need to absorb him, enjoy him, letting him be our sufficiency. Now we come to the second section. The joy of the triune God is becoming our joy. Now we see God is a God of joy. The triune God, the Father, Son, and Spirit, they are a God of joy. And now God's desire is to have his joy to become our joy. He says, in his person, Christ is our joy. Again, I say, we are joyful. We can enjoy, not because of any outward factors. Outward things, success, reward. The unique reason we have joy is because of him. He is our joy. One says, if we abide in the Lord and keep abiding in him by abiding in his love, we will be filled with joy. This is what we saw in John 15. Point two, the Lord is recovering the matters that have been missed among most Christians, and enjoying the Lord is one of the most important of these matters. Don't you agree? I said earlier, this phrase, enjoying the Lord, is unique with us in the Lord's recovery. You hardly find Christians use such a word to describe their Christian life. Not just to enjoy something, but to enjoy the Lord. Amen. How much we know, how much we actually experience the enjoyment of the Lord will determine how well we will grow in Him. And how much we can arrive at the maturity. We should not take this matter for granted as we become so fluent in saying these kind of words, enjoy the Lord. But now I hope through a message like this, our realization of enjoyment of the Lord will be much, much more upgraded. And our enjoyment of Him will be much, much upgraded. It's not a small thing to say, I'm enjoying the Lord. He is my sufficiency. He is the factor of my joy. He must recover this. And He has recovered this, in one sense, among us, through our brother's ministry. But He needs to recover us much, much more. That's why I said earlier at the beginning, we need such a gospel message spoken to us. We need to be saved much, much more. Saved to enjoy the Lord. Number three says, the matter of eating and enjoying the Lord is based on John 6:57. Eating and enjoyment always go together. Number four, the Christian living is a life of feast, eating, drinking, and enjoying the Lord day by day. We have many next generation, second, third generation among us. I really hope that you pick up not only just the term, enjoying the Lord, but you would truly know how to eat, drink, breathe the Lord. How to not only take Him in, but really enjoy, having the joy, touching the joy of God. Learning how to be inwardly satisfied, inwardly content, inwardly have peace with God. Number five says, in order for us to be faithful, normal, and proper Christians, the primary matter that we need to take care of is enjoying the Lord. Amen. This must be the primary matter in the church life. It's not about your faithfulness. It's not about your properness. It's not about your diligence, which we all need, all these fact matters. But ultimately, basically, intrinsically, there has to be the enjoyment of the Lord. I was reminded by the Lord in Luke 15 with the parable of the prodigal son. When the prodigal son returned, the father prepared the fattened calf, have a feast to celebrate the lost child. But there was an older son, the elder brother. He was jealous. He told the father, "Father, I have been slaving for you." He used the word, "I've been slaving for you all these years, and I have not neglected your commandment. You have never have a feast." That refers to the religious workers. They were slaving under the law, doing everything just right, not neglecting the commandment. But the father was telling him, my son who was lost but now have come back. We need to rejoice. This is the father's heart. The father wants to rejoice. But that religious worker was filled with the thought of slaving, being obedient, doing the right thing. But the father's desire let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. Eat and be merry. Do you want to be that good, diligent, faithful worker, but without any enjoyment? No. May the Lord save us from that. We want to be not only just faithfully serving Him, but full of joy, right? Enjoying the Lord. Point five, and the primary matter is we need to take care of the enjoyment of the Lord. And this last sentence, very important. This needs to be a vision to us. It's one thing to know about this. We may nod our head this morning. Yeah, I agree with you, Brother James. But this has to become a vision to us. What is a vision? A vision is a spectacular sight, unforgettable. This matter of enjoyment of the Lord, now we saw the joy is our triune God Himself, is Christ Himself. And God is a God of joy. He wants us to enjoy Him. This has to be a vision that is burned into our being. That whenever we are going to do something for Him, we will never forget. We don't need to be reminded. We just something within us. This has become a vision within us, controlling everything we do for Him. Outwardly, you may be laboring, toiling, very hard. But inwardly, you are supplied. You are enjoying the God of all sufficiency. This has to become a vision to us. Number six says, our spirit needs to take the lead in enjoying the Lord. On the one hand, yes, we realize to enjoy something is a matter of our soul. Our soul is the organ for enjoyment. But in order for our soul to enjoy what we take in, we have to first exercise our spirit to take in this Christ. Our spirit needs to take the lead. We should not be passive. In this matter of enjoying the Lord, we should not be passive. Don't just say, well, if the Lord wants me to enjoy Him, let it be. Let him come to me. Let him speak to me. You have to exercise your spirit. Even I would say, stir up your spirit. You know, in Isaiah, I think it was 55, the verse, it says, Jehovah was saying, there's no one who stir up himself to lay hold of me, to call on my name. Passivity is our enemy. In the matter of enjoying the Lord, it should never be a matter of passivity. We need to be active, aggressive, taking initiative to exercise our spirit. To call on the Lord, to pray, read His word, to come to the meetings with the saints. Take the initiative. Take the lead to use our spirit to enjoy the Lord. Little A says we must learn to directly use our spirit and let the soul be a follower of the spirit. You use your spirit first, your soul follows. Your soul is the actual organ for enjoyment. But God needs us to use our spirit to take in, to receive Him. Our spirit must take the lead aggressively in enjoying the Lord. We're living in a world with many challenging situations. If we don't exercise our spirit, we don't take the lead, we don't use our spirit aggressively, you'll be smothered. You will be just pushed back in no time. So in these days, in this matter of enjoying the Lord, don't wait for your feeling to tell you, oh, now you feel good, you can enjoy the Lord. No, even when you are down, when you feel defeated, Right there, you use your spirit. Lord, I don't want to stay defeated. I have many weaknesses, but I have my spirit and you are my joy. I will use my spirit to lift up my spirit, to enjoy you. We need to take the lead aggressively. Aggressively. That means going against some downward current. Don't let the current lead you. You direct where the current should go. Take the lead aggressively. Number 7. In his prayer to the Father, the Son said, "Now I am coming to you. And these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves." Again, the word made full. This is from John chapter 17, where the Lord offered his final prayer before he went to the Father. He prayed for his glorification, for the oneness of his disciples who will be left on the earth. He prayed for this oneness, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. Little A says, the fullness of joy is in the real oneness. Isn't this true now in the Lord's recovery? Even as we gather in these 7 feasts, saints from all over the world come together. We are not here comparing, competing, arguing, fighting, but instead, we are here just enjoying the same Lord together.
Amen.
We are here. The Lord brought us to this state of oneness that is unheard of and never seen in the world. The condition, I'm not saying that we are perfect. We still have ways to go. But by the Lord's mercy and grace in the last 100 years, through the ministry that he has given to us, he has slowly, gradually brought us to this stage of oneness in his body. That is totally strange in the Christian world today. Who can be one? In this world of division, even in Christianity as a whole, full of division, yet God is gathering a people who will learn to be one with one another. East and west, north and south, black and white, yellow, red, whatever color, it doesn't matter, because Christ is our unique joy.
Amen.
He is our oneness. The triune God is our oneness. And when we all focus on the triune God, we have joy. This weekend, I'm sure we all are full of joy. Look at all the faces, right? We are full of joy, not just because of, you know, just seeing the old faces, you know, get acquainted again, but seeing by coming to the Word together and having fellowship one with another are full of joy. There's a brother from New Zealand, you know, a brother from Africa, you know, brother from Australasia, it's from Korea, from all over the world, from Taiwan. We are all enjoying the same God, same Christ, same Spirit, and we surely can declare we are one. And in this oneness, there is joy. When you are divided, you can't help but be sad. Terrible. It's the saddest thing when God's people is divided. But when we are one, spontaneously, the joy overflows.
Amen.
Okay, little B, when we are one in the Father's name, by the Father's life, and join the Father together, we will have the Lord's joy made full in us. I really believe these days the Lord does not want us to have just a little joy, but joy made full. full, filling our being, squeezing out all the murmurings, all the disparity, all the complaints, just full of joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Okay, point B, in the church, as the kingdom of the Son of God's love, we experience and enjoy Christ in His all-inclusiveness. So we see this joy is related to the triune God. This joy is related to our spirit. This joy is related to the Word of God. This joy is related to the church as the body of Christ. It's where the oneness is realized. And the church here is also revealed as the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Here we experience and enjoy Christ in His all-inclusiveness. This is from the book of Colossians. We see this all-inclusive, extensive Christ revealed there. And in chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has called us, transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We are not here only in the kingdom of God, per se. We are here in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. It's a pleasant place. It's a sweet place. This is the place where the Son, who is the pleasure of God's heart, is being exalted. He has the preeminence, the Son of God's love. He is the center. He is everything in this kingdom, which is the reality of the church life today. And the following points, I just read briefly, these are all the aspects of Christ's all-inclusiveness for us to enjoy as this Son of God's love. Number one, Christ is our allotted portion, our good land, the divine inheritance for our enjoyment. How about after each point, you say a strong amen, okay? Amen. I read again. Number one, Christ is our allotted portion.
Amen.
Our good land,
amen.
The divine inheritance for our enjoyment.
Amen.
Christ is the reality of every positive thing in the universe.
Amen.
Christ is the one sitting at the right hand of God.
Amen.
Christ dwells in us,
amen.
As the hope of glory.
Amen.
Christ is our life.
Amen.
Christ is the constituent of the one new man.
Amen.
Wow. Isn't Him enjoyable?
Amen.
Every point is worthy of the message. But anyway, we cannot get into it. But He is so enjoyable. He says, according to 1 Peter 1:8, the believers exult in joy with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Unspeakable joy. A joy that is so full, we cannot express even how we feel. What joy! What joy! Unspeakable and full of glory. One says this joy is immersed in the Lord as glory. Thus, it is full of the expression of the Lord. It is not merely joy in the sense of happiness, big smile. No, it's not just that. This joy is unspeakable and is full of glory. Glory means what? Glory is God expressed. Wherever God is expressed, there is glory. Even in our joying together, in our enjoyment of Him, there is an expression of God. I mean, you go to the football stadium, when the team wins, wow, the whole crowd standing up joyfully. But not glory. No glory there. Sometimes even some flesh expressed there. But this morning we are in the heavenly stadium,
amen.
Expressing our joy,
amen.
And this joy is full of glory,
amen.
Full of the expression of God. By believing into the Lord and loving Him, we obtain great joy. The normal condition of a Christian is to have joy that is full of glory. Saints, this is normal. We should not think to enjoy the Lord in such a way belongs to the elders, belongs to the co-workers. I'm just a little brother. I just got saved a month ago. Well, actually, you should be the one who has the best joy. The new believer, young believer, she has the best joy. No, the joy belongs to all the believers. This is a normal Christian life. Jesus, enjoying the Lord has many aspects, such as the joy of the Lord's presence. In Psalm 16, in His presence is fullness of joy. The joy of living in the divine romance. This is in Song of Songs. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. She rejoices in this intimate, loving relationship with her lover. The joy of the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. What a joy when we experience the grace of Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, dispensing the triune God into us. And this is the joy of drinking of the river of God's pleasure. What a joy! We are drinking the river of God's pleasure. This is the river of God's joy. You drink this river, you have joy. And the joy of knowing God's love, and the joy of doing God's will, the joy of contentment in all circumstances, and entering into the joy of the Lord in the kingdom. You know, in Matthew 25, concerning the parable on the with the slaves, the ones who received the 5 talent, 2 talent, they return with the profit. The Lord told them, "You enter into the joy of your master." The Lord surely had this matter of joy in His mind, in His heart. When we are faithful in our service to Him, the Lord will say to us one day, not only to give you a crown of righteousness, but now we can enter into the joy of our Master, to enjoy together with Him, and He enjoy with us. Now the last point, point E, a Christian should be a joyful person. Joyful in the Spirit. Again, I say, the joyful, not necessarily in the outward sense, jumping up and down, this and that, but the joyful is the inner satisfaction, the inner peace and contentment. We need to be such a joyful person. This is what a normal Christian is. The Lord is our joy when we are in Him. When we are abiding in the Lord, no matter what problem we have, we are joyful, and any difficulty deepens our joy in the Lord. And 3, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of joy. If we are joyful, this indicates that the Holy Spirit in us is also joyful. Amen? If you are joyful, that is an indication the Lord is also happy in you. If you are not joyful, that also may mean the Lord is not happy in you. You know, in that little booklet I mentioned, Brother George Cutting, the safety assurance and enjoyment. He talked about enjoyment. The fact of that Christians should have enjoyment because of not grieving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a factor of joy. So often we do things against the Spirit, grieving the Holy Spirit. So outwardly you may be happy getting your things done, going your way, but inwardly the Holy Spirit was grieved. So you lost the enjoyment. If you want to keep the enjoyment, pay attention to the Holy Spirit in us, not to grieve the Holy Spirit, then you can be maintained in the enjoyment. The Spirit is a spirit of joy. If we are joyful, this indicates that the Holy Spirit in us is also joyful. There may be nothing in the outward environment to make us joyful, that the Lord who lives in us is, but the Lord who lives in us is our joy. I'd like to end with these verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, which are familiar to many of us, where the apostle says, always rejoice. Unceasingly pray. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. Don't think this is an elementary thing. No. Every day, these few things, three matters, always rejoice. In every situation, positive, negative, always rejoice. When we have such a rejoicing heart, then it will be easy to pray. If you are not rejoicing, I doubt that you can pray that easily, that spontaneously. But when you have a heart that is always rejoicing to the Lord in all circumstances, you pray unceasingly. And as you pray unceasingly, the issue is in everything you give thanks. You give thanks to the Lord for this kind of person that you met, you talked to, and you, this kind of a situation you encounter, you thank the Lord for everything. Thanking the Lord. This is a true thanksgiving. True thanksgiving. Out of rejoicing and praying unceasingly and thanking Him in everything. This is our normal Christian life. Always rejoice, unceasingly pray, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for all you. Amen. Let's pray with one another for 30 seconds or so. The brothers will direct us.